This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Presented by Progressive Insurance, guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And let's get right to it. At Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram. And also the number 729-3776. So 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Be part of the conversation on what's going to be a very busy show. Bart, as we'll get into some football a little bit later on, for the Jets, I'm wearing my green today for the Jetsies because Robert Saleh will be introduced as head coach at 2 o'clock today. And as we speak, Dan Campbell's being introduced as head coach in Detroit, in your hometown, for your Lions.
For people, for those who don't know, that's French. You know what I'm saying? Detroit is French. But I tell you what, from what everything that you're telling me and everything that I'm hearing, like he's going to be a tough act to follow. You know what I mean? And remember when Vrabel was
saying, having a hell of a press conference, by the way.
Yeah, remember that'd be the only win they get this year. Don't worry about
it.
Wow. You know, but I tell you what. Remember when Vrabel issued that challenge and said that, you know, if it was all about, you know, the head coaches fighting, I think he's getting some competition now with Saleh and Dan Campbell. I don't know. He might want to get on that Peloton, you know, get that membership Jacked back up to Bally, get that Bally's membership going again because he was looking a little pudgy.
Bart, people don't know this, so Bart's got his half zip on right now, like looking all clean cut, but like maybe 5 minutes before the show, he was going full Barney Rubble on us. He was showing off the guns. It was a gun show time for Bart.
Man, I'm trying to come back in silence, man.
Tighten it up, man.
All right, well, it's time
for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Coming up, by the way, bottom of the hour, we have Eric Armstead of the 49ers, and his perspective on some of the teams that are going into the championship weekend. He's played three of them, two this season, and obviously the Chiefs, they played in the Super Bowl last year. So great insight for him, and he also knows Robert Saleh very well. So good insight from him. That's coming up bottom of the hour on the football side of things. But right now, like I said, Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We saw for the first time the big three in Brooklyn. We saw it was in Cleveland, but I'm saying Brooklyn's big three on the court at the same time. Yeah. And Bart, the whole league was watching. Players were tweeting about this. You had everybody watching this thing. It wasn't one of the ESPN doubleheader games, but anybody that has the NBA TV package, you were able to see this game. And it was quite a game, I got to be honest with you. It certainly was entertaining. A 147-135 double overtime win for the Cavs. Colin Sexton he went nuclear in the second overtime. Absolutely just couldn't miss. Four threes, 15 points, and it was night-night termite for Brooklyn, who had to rally from a 13-point deficit just to get to overtime. In fact, they had the win, and Sexton hits a three. They had the dub. It was in their pocket. All you got to do is foul. You're up three. Just foul. He's got to take free throws, and you eliminate the chance to take the three-point shot. Kyrie Irving doesn't. Lets him shoot it, and Sexton makes it, and off we go into the wild overtime yonder. And I found it interesting that Kyrie said he was smiling when Colin Sexton was making those shots. What did you see out of the big three? And I'm telling you, I think we saw the league started to see what could be an Achilles heel. But for their first time on the court together, what did you see, Bart?
I thought guys were trying to overpass and they were trying to give the other teammate the opportunity to have their moment. You know, I think
Bart dropped out. Yeah, I believe you. Yeah, the audio dropped out. All right, I'm going to – you're back.
Oh, man.
Check engine light, baby.
Already, man. I tell you what you saw is you saw a team that was trying to get some chemistry that hadn't played together. You know they practiced and played with each other in L.A., but, you know, the fact that, you know, Kyrie looked like he was the one that was lost the most because he really is not a guy that can go crash the boards for the most part, so he's trying to spread the court and become a shooter and make himself available. You know, but, you know, when you think about it, James Harden would come down and do his thing. Then, you know, Kevin Durant did it. And that was great that you had other guys that could be facilitators. And then every once in a while they would get Joe Harris involved. And, of course, it looked like mini Lob City with Jordan going there.
But
it really showed you that how small they were and the fact that you're asking Green to check some of these big wings or you're asking Joe Harris to check some of these big wings could be a problem. And the fact that they can't crash the boards and be able to secure rebounds. And you heard Jefferson saying, hey, whenever you have a small team, you decide to commit to this. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Harden is accustomed to that. You need the guards to come down and try and crash the boards and be part of trying to get the ball. You know, so I think that's going to be Achilles' heel for them. And being able to figure out who time is it to trying to take over the game and facilitate. And I wish they would, you know, really work with each other and pick and rolls to try and get guys involved in that way. So now at least you have two of the one, you know, pick and roll, and the other guy posted up in the corner somewhere. But they definitely got to get some people, and I know that they have three vacancies open, and they're going to look for somebody that's going to get bought out or somebody that's disgruntled or somebody's on an expiring contract, and I think they'll be able to fill that void. But until then, they just got to get that chemistry, and they got to have a couple practices. They haven't had a couple practices to figure out how they want to win, how they want to close games out, situational, you know, basketball, you know, certain teams, who you're going against, how to do it. But all in all, I thought that they – I mean, and it's tough, though, because you're asking, okay, how good really is Cleveland? The defense is optional sometimes, especially with Kyrie. You know, they're so used to having Jared Allen behind them. They're so used to letting people get by knowing that they'll be corrected in the back. No, you got to stay attached to your man. And if you want to take something from Sexton, like remember when he came in as a rookie and he locked his hands down, he's just all locked in. And they need that same type of energy. But you know that D'Antoni and Nash never been anybody that really preached about defense.
Yeah, and it's tough to do that with these three guys. Now, what you said though is right. They have to get some practices, which is hard to do in a season like this one where it's just game after game. That's not going to be easy to do, but they'll figure it out. It will take some time. But what you do know is that the three of them, they definitely want this. Listen to what KD said after the game about how it felt to have the three together on the floor for the first time. I'm guessing we don't have that audio. All right, I thought we did. My bad. All right, so anyway, what he said, though, is that he said that it felt right. He said it felt perfect. So you know they want this. Now, when you look at the numbers, you know, Kyrie went for 37, but he took 28 shots.
Yeah, that's way too
much. He played 48 minutes. KD played 50 minutes. This is a guy coming back from Achilles.
Yeah.
He played 50 minutes.
Got no depth.
Right? 38 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 blocks. So he had a hell of a game. James Harden played 51 minutes and 21 points. He had a triple-double, 21, 10, and 12, but he only took 14 shots. And this is a guy typically, he's normally used to taking a lot of shots.
Right.
So perhaps what he was the guy that said, let me defer tonight. Let's let Kyrie, you know, get his legs under him and get comfortable again, and we'll figure this thing out as we go forward.
Let's let Kyrie be happy. Let's not let Kyrie spaz out. So let me defer, you know, because he looks like the better point guard. You know, because he's able, he seems like he always makes the right decision.
I think he is the point guard. Like, I think actually Kyrie's going to play off the ball. Like, I don't think this is going to be Kyrie as the point guard anymore. I think Kyrie is going to be a combo guard off the ball. Like, they'll be able to take turns, you know, bringing the ball up the floor and whatnot, depending on the matchups. But I think Harden with the ball in his hands and being a playmaker is probably the better look, and that they're probably going to go that way. And you might see him defer a lot more that way because – look, you can't play James Harden one-on-one. We all know this. It'll be a parade to the free throw line if you do this.
Right.
So they're going to probably have to put it in his hands. But what you also said, though, is key. This won't be the final roster. Their bench isn't good enough.
Right.
They can say all they want about – and Joe Harris played 42 minutes. He was 2-for-10. Joe Harris, a nice player. But you wonder going forward. I mean, again, they have Brown. He can defend. But he's not – you know, why doesn't he play more than 7 minutes? But the rest of this bench, TLC, you know, Perry has been a nice player, but is he at that level? Shamit really just all of a sudden has fallen out, and he's the guy they got for three-point shooting, but he doesn't defend. They're going to have to find, like you said, during the year there'll be these guys that are – their contracts are expiring, they're vets, teams that aren't winning, they'll get the buyout. That's right. What they'll do. They'll get the buyout, and then they'll come and sign for a veteran's minimum, and then the Nets will have to make some decisions on a couple of their guys at the bottom of this bench. But they're going to have to find a P.J. Tucker type,
right?
Because DeAndre Jordan is a good defensive player, and he's great in pick and roll. But what he does also is clog the paint, because you know you don't have to guard him 5 feet off the block. Exactly. And if I can keep 1 foot in the paint, I can help on the drives that you get from a Harden, from Kyrie, and from KD, I can help. But if you've got a guy that, you know, Brook Lopez is a great example that you brought up when we were talking before the show. If they had a Brook Lopez who can block shots, he's a decent defensive player when it comes to help defense, but he can also knock the three down, so he pulls the bigs out of the paint. If you had that type of player, it would be a better fit. It's why Clint Capella was traded from the Rockets.
Right. And those
it's the same reason.
Exist.
So the Nets are not a finished product by any means, But I do think that if I'm teams that feel like we're contenders, you know, the Celtics and the Sixers played each other last night, and what an ugly finish that was. Yeah. But if I'm those two teams watching this, I feel like, all right, they're going to let you come back in games. They're going to try to outscore you. This is not a good defensive team, nor do they really seem to care much about defense.
Now, will they be like Houston and try and turn it on during the playoffs? Because we saw James kind of lock in. I mean, he won a game with blocking a shot, you know, on a tremendous defensive recovery play. Will they buy in? Or are they going to
coach
and try to get
that
healthy?
I'm talking about, look, what they don't want to do, especially if Kyrie doesn't want to do this. One thing you know for sure, he doesn't want to go through a screen. So you get your matchup whenever you want because you run him into screens and get the switch. They're always going to switch. So you get, like, that's what you do. You run him into screens and run him into screens, and eventually he just doesn't want to do it.
And you saw him.
He will let you.
You
like, he was letting Sexton get into a rhythm because Sexton was running him into screens and he was getting enough space to get off the shots. And then after that, once he got into a rhythm, you know, it's the NBA. It's over.
Yeah.
So if I'm a team watching, that's exactly what I'm thinking. You already showed me now your weakness. That Durant is a good defensive player. We know that. Harden is a crafty defensive player. But Kyrie is not a defensive player. That's going to be the weakness.
Is he as big a liability as Curry? Like, you just get the matchup you want on a pick and roll?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Run him into pick and roll all the time.
You got to beat him up.
He's not overly big, and he doesn't feel or look like he's strong. And it looks like, you know, if he gets matched up.
It's also a want-to, though, Bart. It's a want-to. Yeah. You got to want to get over the screen. You got to want to fight through it. You got to want to not get the switch. No, no, no. No, we're not switching here.
It's work.
Like, that's to me, as I'm watching the Nets, look, they got to have something, some Achilles heel on this team. Because they've got so much firepower. You're going to have to try to keep up with the offense. If you have enough offensive firepower to do it, you can.
I just don't see how they can keep up with a team like LA with Harrell and with AD. They're just too
tough
big
guys like
they,
that.
Yeah, they're
going
to
set hard screens.
Yeah, and they'll kill those guys on the boards, man. They're too big. They got to go out and try. It's crazy because the Lakers already have their Marquise Morris, and the Clippers have the other one.
You so
need
Nets
somebody
to
like
goon?
That. That's tough. They need a goon, and Tucker's a nice goon, but he's still short. And I know he plays and punches above his weight, but I just don't know, man. I don't know if that's going to be enough. And
well, DeAndre's not going to be on the floor late in games. You can see it. That's even though it's their starting five, that'll never be their finishing five. Right? And he's a poor free throw shooter as well. So they're going to go. They're going to play small, and that's the same thing the Rockets did. And it really, the Rockets won a lot that way.
Yeah.
But they never could get over the hump.
Yeah.
They came close, and then they missed 27 straight three pointers.
But they didn't have scores like this though.
These are special scores.
This is like a system that has never been successful. Before that, we saw Don Nelson. We saw that system. And it's always won a lot of games, but when it came down to the elite teams, it was not good enough to win a championship. If this system can't win with these pieces, it is not doable. If you can't go with arguably two of the top five players, I know we're talking about LeBron and we're talking about AD, but if we were going 5 and 6 when it's all said and done, I think it's going to be Harden, and I think it's going to be Durant, and I think Kyrie will be sitting there somewhere at 12 as far as, you know, the best player in the league, 12 or 15. He'll make top 15.
But I don't think it shouldn't matter to these guys, Bart. It doesn't. And you know what else is going to happen, too? Part of the conversation is going to be for them. The regular season doesn't matter.
Right.
Because for them, it'll be, we just got to get right in time for the postseason. This feels so much like the first year of the Miami Heat when they first got together and they were, remember, out of the gate, they were like 500. I believe it was like somewhere around like 13-13 or something that first year. And there were some thoughts about, is it going to work? And LeBron eventually, with Dwayne Wade, they were having friction on the floor about, both guys were used to being high usage players. One of them had to give in, and it was Wade. Wade deferred to LeBron. So I had to step back. I had to understand that he's at his best with the ball in his hand and learn how to play off that. And once they did, they took off from there. But they still couldn't win the championship that year because they still weren't that team yet. They were still missing a couple of elements, and that's why the Mavericks were able to beat them. So I feel like the Nets are sort of in that stage, but they just got to get to the postseason
and get their
matchup. But I'm watching them, and if I'm the Celtics, the Sixers especially are going to need a couple more pieces, but the Sixers, I don't know if the Bucks are going to have enough firepower to keep up, to be honest with you. I just don't see the Bucks being good enough. But anybody else in the East, and especially in the West, if you're the Lakers, if you're Denver, you're looking at the Nets and you're thinking, That's a beatable team.
Yeah.
We lock down defensively. We play them physical, and we know we've got enough stars that can keep up offensively. This, in a seven-game series, they still could be a beatable team. They've got a lot of work to do and more pieces to add, believe it or not, to this group.
And that's what I see, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to get them, you better get them now, because next year it's going to be written in stone. You can write that in stone that they're going to get where they need to go, because they're going to go ahead and get those pieces. And the difference that they, you know, difference between this team and that Miami Heat team is they had opportunity to have a training camp and figure it out, and it still took them a while to figure it out. So they're going to have to figure out their roles, accept their roles, and figure out. And that just takes time and chemistry. And you know, and the good thing in the East, nobody's running away with the conference. So, I mean, I think they want to take their time. I don't like the fact that Durant is playing 50 minutes. I don't like that. Well, I like that Harden is playing it, because Harden is getting in shape, right? He's not coming off an injury. They're playing him into shape.
Yeah, and Kyrie's got to play into shape too, because he's missed seven games, been out for a while. So and they just need that. They need the – I love referencing Malcolm Gladwell here. They need the 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
Right? They need that time together on the floor – going through it, where it's good times and bad times, and just dealing with it, going through slumps, going through mistakes, going through, you know, misunderstandings of, I thought you were going to zig when you zagged. Like, all that stuff's going to have to happen, and they've got to do it in real time, because there aren't practice scrimmages in a training camp to do it in.
I mean,
and
who's
that's just going to have to happen right now.
Who's the catch and shoot guy, right? Who's the guy
Joe
that
Harris.
Can come off picks without the ball? No, I'm saying out of the big three. Who's the guy that can be catch up, shoot? Can Kyrie run off? Okay, well, KD, somebody has to be Rip Hamilton. Somebody's got to be coming off staggered screens, pin downs, come up and get easy buckets. It can't just be pick and roll all the damn time.
But, Bart, you know what, though? I'm surprised at you focusing on offense. You and I both know what has to happen.
But they're going to have to
get grimy. They got to get grimy. They've got to have – one of them has got to decide that I'm gonna play not dirty, but I'm saying I'm going to get dirty. Like, somebody has to be the one that's going to have that other side of them where it's a little more sandpaper.
Well,
because
for
right
me,
now, they're
be
both
hard.
Guys that – they're three guys that like to play skill and don't like to mix it up too much. Like, they like to play just more of a loose streetball kind of game where you – I still think you need a few people on that team that are willing to scrap. And I don't know if they've got that element on the team. They're missing that. Somebody's got to lead the way when it comes to floor burns. Like I said, that's the concern you have about this group.
But
is there one of them that is willing to do it? Because it was always Chris Bosh with Miami. Bosh was the guy that was willing to do the dirty work.
To me, it has to be Harden, right? For me, because he's the one physically that can match up. He's the one guy that can't get bodied underneath the post. He's the guy that's the uninvited guest. He's like the guy that they added to the group. He's Spinderella. Right? You know, Salt and Pepper was already together. He's Spin. And I was like, all right, Spin, you can be the DJ. But, you know what I'm saying? But we know that he's one of the better people, but he'll never get featured like that because he's the third person to the party. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's true. Like, right. Out of these three, they're all used to being alpha.
Right.
You know?
But physically, I always worry about Kyrie because he always gets hurt. KD is coming off an injury, so I don't want to push him defensively.
A lot of minutes,
And he stresses. So the guy that's healthy and the guy that should be hungry for a championship, the one without a ring, got to do
James
the dirty
Harden.
Work.
Yeah, you know what? Really good point. Excellent point. All right, well, that's what's happening in the NBA right now, but it's the Nets just keep being a story because it is the first time we're seeing them together. There's a lot more games to be played. There's no doubt about that, and more experiences they'll have together. But at first glance, what did we see? That's what we saw. We saw this group as is. They're going to need more, and it's not more skill, it's more will. And can they find that in the next couple of months? We will find out. But also, today, a big day in the NFL, two head coaches being named or being introduced. One, as we told you, Dan Campbell, and Bart, I mean, I hope we get it for audio files. When you hear Dan Campbell, I mean...
Did it sound like, a wrestling promo?
Let me tell you something, brother. This franchise has been kicked around.
All my warriors.
Yeah, like
snap it to a Slim Jim. Snap it to a Slim Jim.
If you're a Lions fan and you're listening to Dan Campbell today, you are just like, I'm ready to run through a brick wall for this guy. This is hopefully the strategy is also on point, and maybe they get something out of Matt Stafford. But and the Jets are introducing Robert Saleh as well for their head coach. So coming up next, we are going to talk to a player who played for Saleh with the 49ers. That's Eric Armstead. He certainly knows him well. He's learned a lot from him, so it would be good insight from him on that. Also, has played against three of the final four teams in the NFL this year, including last year in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. So some insight from him on each of these unique offenses that we are going to look at this weekend. So a great conversation coming up there. Plenty more to get to, of course. Your calls will be part of the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And if you're in New York, we will carry the press conference. I believe nationally, right? The Max Kellerman Show is going to carry the Robert Saleh press conference at 2 o'clock
Way to get a segment off, Max. Way to go, buddy.
Come on. I mean, I wish it was during our show. I'd sit back and enjoy every minute of this.
I'm going to get my popcorn ready.
But that was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So Eric Armstead coming up next, but right now this from Bart on DraftKings.
Download the DraftKings app and use promo code BART to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. We'll be back right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN app, smart speaker, number 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. Waiting for a minute here to get Eric Armstead on from the Niners to talk about Robert Saleh and to talk about the Niners and their season, what a weird season they had. They had to finish it, right, playing in Arizona.
Yeah.
Because of the COVID stuff that was going on in Bay Area, they were locked down there. And again, just and also he's seen these teams that are in the conference championship games. Three of them, he played two this year. There was the Bills and the Packers, and then he saw the Chiefs in the Super Bowl last year. So a good perspective from him. We'll wait on that for a minute. So hopefully we should get him here in a second. So we'll do what we always do, Bart. We like to just, you know, fill, as they say. So when we do that, he's here. We have him. Oh, okay. But we have, but we don't. Instead, let's go to Mike in Texas. In the meantime, wants to talk Nets. Mike?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
Good, and so?
Doing well. Hey, long-time listener. It's probably one of the first times I've called. I can't get over this. There's so many smart minds in this world, and they think that the Nets are going to work. Guys, these are the three most selfish, immature, prima donna we have ever seen, not just in basketball, in any sport. This will not be a dumpster fire. This will be a landfill fire visible from space. Kyrie Irving is taking a long walk on a flat earth. James Harden is one slip up away from turning into Charles Barkley. And Kevin Durant, at the first sign of trouble, will take to the burner account, will blame everybody else, and will look for his next adventure.
Mike, I hate to cut you off. We got to run because we have Eric. I need to, one question, though, from you, Mike. Are you a Rockets fan? Oh, he's gone. It just sounds like a jilted.
And listen. I like his take. That is one take. I wonder if Eric is betting his money.
Let's bring in Eric. Eric Armstead joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, and I mean, I know it's not it's not football related, but you guys get
calls like that all the time.
All the time, man. You never know, man. It's a lot of hurt people out there. Like I said, if they lose to Deshaun Watson in Texas and they lost Harden, that's a stimulus package for all the strippers, man. Just gone. You know how many book scholarships they was providing, how many educations they were forwarding with Harden and Deshaun Watson, and all that is taken away from the economy. They hurting out there in Texas right now. You know how it is.
That's crazy.
Well, let's move on to You probably don't have a reaction to it, or maybe just better off not. But let me ask you about a coach you are losing with the 49ers and Robert Saleh. And before I ask what you're going to miss, let me ask you, what are the Jets getting? Tell the fans in New York who have been, they've gone through coaches here, they've gone through a lot of heartache here. What are they getting in a head coach?
They're getting a great man. They're getting a leader, a guy who knows how to create a culture and gel guys together. I think playing for him over the years, I learned a lot from him. He taught us how to execute at a high level. And, you know, he always said that this is a defensive organization. And to go out there on Sundays and, you know, show people what we're capable of. And that starts with executing at a high level and playing for one another. And no matter the situation, playing hard. And I think that's what people saw out of us is that no matter what situation we were put in, we always played hard. We always fought. And if you do that, you can look up, you know, at the scoreboard at the end of the day and, you know, be proud of what you put on tape.
Now, with that being said, now he has to make that tough transition. You know, I played for Rex Ryan for a long time. Rex was with me in Baltimore. And sometimes it's difficult for coaches that coach a position or a side of the ball to make that transition to become a leader of men without kind of leaning to one side or the other and kind of stand in the middle. Did Kyle ever give him opportunities to address the team as a whole, or did he just stay on the defensive side of the ball? Or were they prepping him and grooming him to become a head coach in this league?
I would say he stayed mostly on the defense side of the ball, but I think that his skills and the leader that he is will translate. Just being with him day in and day out and seeing his preparation that he had for us defensively and the way he was able to lead us, I think that translate to both sides of the ball and even special teams. So I don't think he'll have any issues there.
We're talking with Niners defensive end Eric Armstead, and Robert Saleh was his defensive coordinator there. They went to the Super Bowl last year, had great success, and a lot of we heard from Richard Sherman about what the Jets are getting. You just told us what they're getting as well. What are you losing, though? What is the team like when you think about what you guys were, that defense this year, and the injuries you went through? And I guess let me back up and say, what was this year like for you guys after a Super Bowl appearance and very close? I mean, you have that lead in the fourth quarter. But you come into this year and the injuries, one after another, early in the season. You finish the season, you can't even play at home. You're in Arizona, away from family, kind of in your own bubble, just to finish the season. What was this whole experience like for you guys and the Niners and finishing 6-10?
It was definitely a long year. You know, it was a trying year with a lot of adversity. You know, it just seemed like stuff kept getting thrown at us when, you know, when we got guys back healthy, you know, other guys would go out or it was COVID. So it was definitely a long, trying year. I think we learned a lot about ourselves and our team. And I think that the main thing I was proud of being part of this team is, you know, was never a lack of effort. And I think if we had our, you know, full roster of guys, you know, people would have still had that fear of us and not wanted to play us. So, you know, definitely looking forward to next year, getting back healthy and getting back out there and, you know, competing at a high level.
You know, I came out there with you guys. I was teaching financial literacy programs. I came out there, I believe, 2014 or 2015. At that time, you guys was the youngest team in the NFL at that time. And, you know, one year after other, you guys came in, and then it seemed like Kyle Shanahan and Saleh and that coaching staff was able to bring you guys together. What was that process like? And, you know, because the Jets are a young football team here, and, you know, they have a couple of foundational pieces, but they have to develop that culture and change that culture. What are some of the things that Saleh did to try and, you know, give that accountability, you know, and also be able to inspire, but also be able to hold guys accountable to live up to the mission statement in that room?
Yeah, it definitely starts with being a brotherhood. You know, team sports, you have to have a close-knit unit that plays for one another and tries to eliminate as many selfish egos as possible. And I think you know, we had a great group who was able to really do that and play for one another, no matter the situation, play hard. And so I really think it starts with building that brotherhood of, and, you know, a close, tight-knit group. And they were able to corral us together continue to fight throughout any circumstances. And that made us grow closer, you know, throughout the years of the adversity that we went through.
So I got to ask this question because Bart and I both have different comparisons for Salah. I say Vin Diesel. Like, what do you –
I got Xerxes from 300.
He's saying Xerxes. So what do you got – you guys have had to have had something where you mess with him about his appearance. He obviously – the toughest-looking coach I've seen since Bill Cowher. I mean, this is a tough-looking coach. What do you guys say behind the scenes?
Yeah, he definitely got the Xerxes for sure in the locker room. Some people say Jason Taylor.
That's pretty good. I can see that.
A lot of people, you know, he always got a fresh shaved bald one, and it's real shiny. So some people get on him about that too.
What does it mean, though? Like, I know Bart loved Rex, and Rex was a fiery coach who'd be out there fighting for his guys. And we, you know, on ESPN Plus, we're showing some photos where somebody's holding him back because he just looks like he wants to get out on the field with you guys. Does that mean something, players? Like, when you feel that kind of emotion from your coach, does it get played out or does it fire you up more? How does it work on the field?
Oh, 100%. Gets us fired up because we know our coaches are invested. And they care a lot about us and what's going on the field. And especially in a year like this, that's all the energy that you had was from, you know, your teammates and your coaches. So the stadiums were dead, and you could definitely hear Salah's voice over there or hear Salah. There was a couple times this year I heard, you know, them calling out the plays from the sideline, and I was able to make a play. So definitely that they're invested, super passionate. That helps us, you know, execute and do our job even better.
Now, last year, you know, what I found in my career, the hardest game to win is the championship game because it's like it's the game right before you get to the prize and get an opportunity to experience what Super Bowl weekend is all about. You know, you have Josh Allen this year, who I think is, you know, probably the most improved quarterback in the league, and then you have Aaron Rodgers, in which you faced this year, who is making his case to be the MVP and kind of remind Green Bay who he is and say, hey man, I don't need no Jordan Love behind me, I'm all the quarterback you need. You know, what's some of the things that you've noticed about Josh Allen and his maturity and maturation to becoming a better quarterback than what he was? And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, do you think, in your opinion, he's the MVP of the league?
Starting with Josh Allen, yeah, he's, you know, this is the first year I played against him, amazing player, big guy, tough to bring down, and, you know, they're definitely rolling this year. It was, you know, I could never, throughout the game, playing against him this year, you know, they really keep you on your toes and keep a defense out of whack, so they definitely bring a lot of challenges to a defense. In terms of A-Rod, even growing up, has always been, you know, one of my favorite quarterbacks. Obviously, he's, you know, Hall of Famer, and he's definitely on a tear this year. He's been playing extremely well, and so I think you would have to give the MVP nod to him. The position he's put the team in thus far, and the way he's been playing at a unbelievably high rate. So definitely would have to give a nod to him on that.
All right, let me ask you this. You faced three of the four quarterbacks in the last year, basically, in during the season this year, as Bart mentioned, and obviously in the Super Bowl against Mahomes. You haven't faced Tom Brady, but Tom Brady's Tom Brady. Which of the quarterbacks you faced, which is the toughest to prepare for, considering versatility, talent, whatever it is, because you've had to prepare for them in the last year. Which one was the toughest to prepare for?
I would definitely say Mahomes. You know, with his ability and all the offensive weapons that he has, you know, it's tough to account for everyone, and it's tough to account for everyone, and then account for him as well in the back end, in the backfield. So I would definitely say he's the toughest. I mean, you know, for a good part of that Super Bowl, we got after them and were able to contain them. But, one chunk play and that completely changed the game. And then he gets on a run or with momentum and, definitely tough to corral after that.
All right, Eric, we appreciate your time and the insight that you gave us. And thank you for sharing your coach with us, because in New York, they are certainly desperate to get on the right track. And you guys certainly were there defensively. So thanks so much for your time, Eric. Appreciate you. Have a great offseason.
And send us Kyle Juszczyk so we can bring some of that toughness over here. Time to come back to the East Coast.
Appreciate you guys.
All right. Thank you. Eric Armstead on the Goodyear Hotline. Barton Hahn brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Armstead's just signed an extension, so it's not like we can start recruiting him.
Yeah, we can't take him, but we can take Juszczyk. Juszczyk is a tempo setter. You talk about that dynamic run game. You talk about setting up that play action, whether it's Sam Darnold, whether it's Deshaun Watson. We definitely need somebody that can set that tempo.
Bart, it's amazing when you see – now, you heard Armstead talking about him, and he loves him. And I looked back. I was at the end of the season, the Niners players, a lot of defensive players, knew Saleh was going to be leaving. They didn't know where, but they knew he was going to be leaving. It's amazing how glowingly they spoke about this coach, how much they loved him.
As a person.
There's no doubt about it. Saleh will be introduced as the Jets head coach 2 o'clock today, Eastern. You'll hear it on the Max Kellerman show. And we will have him tomorrow on our show exclusively as well to catch up with him because, Bart's already going to start with the questions about, all right, so who you recruiting, who you bringing with you, what kind of defense you
going to
play.
Yeah, I want to know what the hell we're talking about. I want to know what type of defense we're playing. We're playing 3-4-4-3, damn it.
We got all that coming up. Damian Woody's going to join us at 1 o'clock at Into Football. It's the championship weekend. We got to get into those games and break them down as well. We have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hunt Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Conor McGregor returns to the Octagon January 23rd in a rematch against Dustin Poirier, UFC 257, only on ESPN Plus, UFC 257, exclusively available on ESPN Plus. Subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV. We got Damian Woody going to join us here in just a few minutes. Get into the NFL, get into the championship games over the weekend, and also some sad news out of Green Bay, Bart. Matt LaFleur just confirming GM, and also Adam Schefter. Ted Thompson, remember the Packers GM who built those great teams, has passed away at the age of 68. So a lot to get to on the NFL front. We'll do that coming up next with Damian Woody. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.